federal government wants to give $450,000 to several families who have entered the U.S. illegally from the South. They feel they've been mistreated and families have been separated, so they want to pay them $450,000. When a young man goes to fight for our country and gives his life on the field, the insurance for that is $400,000. Something's rotten in Denmark. I don't understand that concept. I can't abide that. Had my way, I'd give every single person who served our country a brand new home when they came home and a good job. Then they end up on the street because they just don't know where to go, what to do. Some of the things that they faced, they don't want to face anymore. It's difficult for them. So we need to pray for our veterans. Pray that God will bless them and use them and take care of them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for our church. We thank you for the community we have here, the camaraderie we have. Father, we thank you that you meet with us on these days when we come together, and Father, when we're by ourselves, you're there with us. Father, we're so thankful that you never leave us nor forsake us. Father, I pray that you bless this service today. May it honor you. I pray that we might gather the things from the Word of God that can be helpful to us. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do and how you do it. Father, I pray that you'll bless us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 18, please. Psalm 18, we're going to pick up this remembrance of David, who has written Psalm 18. To share with us how God took care of him during the time that he was being under attack by Saul. The same portion is found in the 22nd chapter of 2 Samuel. You can read it there. It reads exactly like Psalm 18 does. Last week we looked at how God dealt with David, and what God did for David because of how David lived. We're coming now to a passage of Scripture that has presented some difficulty for many who comment on it because of how it's written, what it says. You have to take into consideration several things when looking at this passage. And we're going to look at it this morning and try to make sense of it. Amen. Found for us in Psalm 18, verse 25 through 28. Verse 25 says, "With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the forward thou wilt show thyself forward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down the high look. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Amen. Now this passage, the first thing that God says in this passage is that God deals with men according to their character. How does God deal with man? According to his character. You can develop character through several things. For every man, it begins with the same thing. Sin damages an expression of good character. But when you take care of the sin problem, you can have good character. Amen? I mean, you get saved, apply what Christ did at the cross for you, and you can have the kind of character you're to have. But it's always been true that God deals with men in this fashion. Now, in a general way, he deals with all of mankind in according to these four principles that we've just read. It's a general thing. Doesn't always do that, but generally that's how it happens. The fact of the matter is, when men, saved, unsaved men, doesn't matter, God shines a light on saved and the unsaved alike, amen? So, whenever a man, an individual, is gracious, is kind to someone, often God will show mercy to that person because he was merciful. Mercy is shown in really three ways. Number one, mercy is shown by withholding judgment. Withholding judgment. That's when you want to leave the car in neutral when you feel like stripping the gears. Amen? But mercy is shown, number one, by withholding judgment. And of course, God uses this passage to reflect on David's response to Saul. David responded to Saul in mercy on several occasions. David could have taken Saul's life, but he did not. He withheld judgment, his personal judgment, from Saul. Mercy. Mercy is shown, secondly, by giving kindness for unkindness. By giving kindness for unkindness. That's not easy to do, amen? When a person is unkind to you, treats you with disdain, it's hard to be kind to them. It's hard to show them that kind of thing. And mercy, a simple definition of mercy is kind-heartedness. And so mercy is shown by withholding judgment, and secondly, by having kindness towards those who would be unkind. Then thirdly, and this is probably the most important, mercy is shown by not retaliating. How many ever heard the saying, I don't get mad, I just get even? That's really not a very good thought. You know, retaliating. I knew a man some years ago that you never wanted to hear about somebody that did something wrong to that person, because he would go to lengths that sometimes were absurd to retaliate, to get even, to make them pay more than what he thought he had to pay. And retaliation never is right. Mercy is shown by not retaliating. So when the Bible says, to the merciful, God will show himself merciful. When a person responds this way, God often responds in a similar fashion to them. That was true in David's life. It's true in general, often in life, in general. We can't say that God is not sometimes merciful to men who are not Christians. He is merciful. Amen? He does respond in mercy sometimes. And in a general way, when they're merciful, he's merciful. And so God is saying to David, here's a general principle that has come into play in your life. To the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. The second thing he says is, talks about uprightness. He says, with an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. Upright is talking about integrity. It's the kind of person whose word can be trusted, who says what he means, a person who has integrity, who can be trusted to do what he said he would do, an upright man. And a person who is upright, who keeps his word, who is careful to walk in right, will often deal with them. If you're any length of time, the word is your bond, you've got God toward you. And when men walk uprightly or strive to be upright, strive to be honest, strive to have integrity, God often deals with them in the same fashion. You can't think that God only deals these ways with Christians and the world is stuck, because God is the God of all mankind. Amen. And he would love to be the Savior of all. Mercy is meant by mercy. Uprightness is meant by uprightness from God. There's a third thing he says, pureness. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. This is talking about moral cleanness, pureness. They have a clean morality. I had a friend in high school. We played sports together. Wait a minute now. His name was Kit Carson. Really? Kit Carson. He wasn't a cowboy, but that was his name. The Carson family was one of the best families in all of North Highlands where I lived. Everybody knew they were good people. They're the kind of people that if the next door neighbor was sick, they'd mow his lawn. They were always going out of the way to help someone, bring cookies to your house. They didn't smoke. No one in that family smoked. No one in that family drank, not a drop of liquor. They were careful about how they dressed. They walked honestly, the Bible says, like the Bible says in the day. But none of that whole family knew Christ. Not a one of them. But they were the best people in the world. I think of those people when I think about pureness. They put many Christians to shame. And God, in a general sense, often deals in pureness with those who are pure. That's certainly true in the Christian life. When you're living a life of purity, God deals with you in purity. A fourth thing is said here. With the forward, thou wilt show thyself forward. There's a change here now. It's a new kind of character. A worse kind of character is being described. The word forward means the crooked man. The crooked man. A forward person is a person who isn't honest on the face. They're crooked. They act incorrectly. They respond in anger. They want to get even. They think only of their own best interest. They're not at all concerned about the interest of others. The forward. I've met some forward people. You don't want to cross a person who has a spirit of forwardness. Here's the interesting thing. It says to the forward, God will show himself forward. God will deal with them according to how they deal with others in their forward response. Judgment, correction, punishment. They respond that way, then God responds that way to them. When Saul started out, he was a good man. Came from good stock. He made some important decisions early on in life. It looked like he was going to be the person that could lead Israel the way God wanted them to be led. But I think pride got the best of him. And he rebelled against God, sinned against God. And it built him in him a spirit of forwardness. Anybody that seemed to be to cross his path or seemed to maybe be somebody who could take some kind of honor away from him, he chose to retaliate. He chose to get even. He chose to punish them. And it drove him to ruin. He ended up seeking the advice of a witch. How far must you fall to seek the advice of a witch? God was forward because Saul was forward. So God kind of puts a pause in this discussion that David is having with us and says, David, there are four principles that are almost always true. And in a general sense, apply often to the merciful. I'll be merciful to the upright. I'll be upright to the pure. I'll be pure, and to the forward, I will show myself forward. God deals with men according to their character. Secondly, this passage tells us how God responds to those who have a committed heart. Look at verse 27. How does God respond to the person who has a committed heart? Verse 27 says, "For thou wilt save the afflicted people." Underline that word, afflicted. It means a person who is under persecution, who was under attack, and yet lives honorably. I like that. They don't retaliate. They don't try to get even. How does God respond to that person? It says, "For thou wilt save the afflicted people." The word "save" is the word we get our word "delivered" from. He'll deliver them. Now, sometimes that delivery comes in right away, amen? Sometimes that deliverance comes over a period of time. But either way, God is in the delivering business, amen? And when a person lives his life so that he honors God and walks with God, even when he's being persecuted, even when he's being assaulted, even when someone is treating him in the wrong way, ill-manneredly, even when someone is judging them for something they did not do, even in the eyes of others, they may be condemned. God steps in supernaturally and delivers them. Amen? He takes them out of that situation. He fixes it for them. He deals directly so that this can be fixed. In fact, it says that God will deliver them, but listen to the rest of this verse. But we'll bring down the high look. How many ever heard the word haughty? That's what high look means. A haughty person. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. A person who is prideful, arrogant, who has a haughty spirit, is going to fall. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. And when you couple that spirit with antagonism and hatred towards a godly individual, then God's judgment is sure on that person. It's going to happen. As sure as you're sitting in your seat, it's going to happen. God's judgment will fall. It can be immediately, but it can be delayed. But either way, it's coming. And you follow Saul's life, and that's exactly what happened. God finally put him in a place where he could not escape, and he was run down, thrust through, killed, put to death. Not at the hand of David, but at the hand of God. So number one, God deals with men according to their character. Number two, God responds to the committed heart. And then here's a third thing. These verses tell us how God has compassion for the godly. Verse 28, for thou wilt light my candle. Lord, my God will enlighten my darkness, all God's people said. The phrase, for thou wilt light my candle, is a picture of life. That God, in lighting a candle, he lights the life with his life. Jesus is the light of lives. Amen? And he will light you. You may think sometimes your candle is not burning or is not burning brightly, but Christ lights the candle. Amen? You don't light it yourself. Christ lights the candle. When God lights your candle, you will shine as brightly as you possibly could shine. No greater thing in the world than to be lit by Christ and shining in a darkened world. And you as individuals, we all as individual Christians, are to be lights. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Christ lights your candle. You're to take that light, and you're not to hide it and put it under a bushel. It's to give light to the whole house. If you work in an area where there are a lot of unsaved people, and that may be true, you're a light. You're to give light to the whole house. Your responsibility is to light up for Christ. And the only way that can happen is if you're lit by Him. Thou wilt light my candle. But it also says, Thou wilt enlighten my darkness. We're foolish if we think we don't have dark moments in life. Some of the greatest people I know as believers had dark lives, dark moments. Charles Spurgeon, one of the great preachers of the 19th century, began pastoring Park Street Church at 16 years of age. Church of 400 or 500. Eventually, when he built a new building, the tabernacle there in London, he was pastoring 5,000 to 6,000 people every Sunday morning. What a success. 6 months out of many of his years, he had to leave the pulpit and go away because depression was sucking his life out of him. He could not lift his head. He could not talk to others. Depression was so heavy on him, so difficult for him. He couldn't see literally the forest for the trees. William Cowper, the great poet, man who wrote 1/3 of all the hymns in the only hymn book, first hymn book used by a church that was not the Psalms, was the only hymn book. John Newton and William Cowper wrote those songs. William Cowper, on 6 occasions, tried to take his own life. He was put in an asylum for some time. He was afraid to wake up in the morning, and then he was afraid to go to bed at night. He feared that he was not good enough, that God could not possibly pardon him. William Brainerd. How many have ever heard of William Brainerd? William Brainerd was a great missionary to the Susquehanna Indian tribe. He married early in life and felt that God would want him to do this missionary work. He didn't himself feel like he was equipped to do it, but he did it. He wrote kept a book, a tablet, and put down everything that happened to him in those years as a missionary. And it has touched the heart of hundreds and thousands of people across the world. Because in it you find that he was stricken, overwhelmed by depression. and died at a very, at 29 years of age. Darkness. Sometimes the darkness is the darkness of deep sorrow. The pain is too deep. It's hard to get by. Sometimes the darkness is the darkness of satanic attack. Sometimes it's the darkness of a way obscured. You can't see it. Where should I go? What should I do? And sometimes the darkness is the darkness of death. Don't think for a moment that because you're saved, that you might not have some concerns about dying. Because sometimes it's difficult. But always, God's in charge. Darkness. The way is obscured. It's too dark to travel. The sorrows are too deep. Satan's on the attack. I'm nearing the end of my road. But it doesn't say that there's just darkness. It says that God will enlighten my darkness. He will give me light to see the way. Amen. He will give me light to lift the shadows of sorrow. He will give me light to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he will give me light all the way home. My grandmother had lost her sight by the time she was near death, 93 years of age. For the last 4 months of her life, she never talked to anybody. Her voice was gone. The nurse that came into her was a lady who the family knew, a saved lady, was very kind. And the day that Grandma went home, the nurse was there, was just standing by her. And she sat up and said as clearly as you could possibly say it, I see the angels. The lady said, what? She said, I see the angels. And it's so beautiful. I'm going home. She laid her head down, closed her eyes. That's the last thing she said. Took a couple of breaths and she was gone. Someone asked me at the funeral service, do you really believe that she saw angels? I said, yep. Why do you believe it? She said she did. And I've never known Grandma to lie. But more importantly, God sometimes sends the angels to come and get us, to take us home. Amen. where we'll be safe in the arms of Jesus. Folks, David learned some things. Regardless of how bad it may seem sometimes, God is always there, right there by us. Lord, help us to love you, to serve you, to be thankful, Lord, to you for what you do. And God, may we see you in every circumstance of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.